All right, reading from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, the real Jesus Christ. The real Jesus Christ. We should not be surprised that the devil tries to pawn off onto us a fake Christ, an idol Christ. We should not be surprised to find that you and I are prone as sinners sometimes to form in our minds a picture of Christ that's not biblical and not scriptural. We should be aware of these things, and we should strive to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to paint an accurate picture in our minds and in our hearts and lives according to the Word of God, because that's the only true source that we can go to tonight. And so I hope tonight that I help you to get a better picture of the real Jesus Christ. You know, anybody, and we'll get back to this verse here in a few minutes, a very important part to play in the message tonight. But anyone who takes the time to read the life and the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth in the New Testament can't help that they pay just casual attention to what they're reading. That if the Lord Jesus Christ were here today on this earth, let's say he were here in the United States of America, that he would be way out of step with our culture and with our society. There's no question about it. Even a large number of those who profess him as Lord and Savior would find that he was way out of step and would be way out of step with them. So much so that they probably would wonder if he was the real Christ. Because when you read the Bible, it seems like the more we go in this country today, those that profess to be Christ, the farther they get away from him and his teachings, and the less they look like him. And it's supposed to go the other way. We're supposed to become more Christ-like. And as we live, and the longer we're Christians, people are supposed to look at us, and they're supposed to be able to see in our lives something of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, and the Bible refers to us as the living epistles, and somebody said, we're the only Bible that some people ever read. All I can say is, Lord, have mercy on some poor people that have only some of the professing Christians today for their Bibles. They're in trouble already, because you're going to get off to a bad start and stay that way, because there aren't too many today that you could look at and get an idea of what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, even though they profess that they have a very intimate relationship with him, that he is their Lord and Savior, that he indwells them, that the Holy Spirit indwells them. It doesn't look that way in their life. You can't tell much difference between them and the lost world. I praise God that I can go back to the time. That's one of the benefits of being old, is that you know sometimes whenever a person said, I'm saved. Boy, you could look at their lives. And I mean, one day they were lost, and the next day when they said they were saved, you looked at them, and man, it's just like the light in a room of darkness, and then you turn on the light, and boom, it's just like a light came on. And you watched them, and man, there was a definite change in their life. Now, we had some duds back in those days, too. There were duds back in the days of the New Testament. But there were a lot of folk back many years ago that you could look at, and you knew that Christ was real because they acted like he was real. And you could see something of Christ in their lives. And the longer they became Christians, the more you could see of Christ. There was growth there. And so that's the way it should be in our life today. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, if you're here today, would be way out of step with our culture and our society, as I said. And I was thinking about it, and I said, well, how could I describe it to the folks? And I said, well, it'd be like putting a square peg in a round hole. The Lord Jesus Christ would be the square peg. He just wouldn't fit that round hole. And not only that, but he would be very politically incorrect. And on top of that, he'd be very unconcerned about being very politically incorrect and out of step with this age. He wouldn't feel intimidated. He wouldn't feel ashamed. But he sure would make some other folks feel intimidated and ashamed if he were alive. That's the real Jesus Christ. The real Jesus Christ did not take a back seat to the world. He said, I come to do the will of my Father. And that's what he did. Now, he can do it perfectly, and we can't do it perfectly, but we need some of that Spirit today. We need to manifest the real Jesus Christ in our life. We need to, as God said to one of the prophets, you're going to go preach to a hard-headed bunch of people, and I'm going to make your head hard so you can be able to butt with them. We live in a wicked society today, so we ought to pray, God, make our heads as hard-headed as the lost, so that when we hit them, it'll be like two billy goats hitting. And if one of us falls to our knees, let it be the lost man, the wicked man. Don't let it be me. Let my head be as hard or harder, because I'm going to be butting heads with a lot of wicked people, committed people to the devil. I pray, Lord, help me to at least be as committed to you as the lost are to sin and the devil, but I'd like to be more committed than they are. That's what we need. The sad part today is the world, the lost world's committed. Christians are not very committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a weakness within us that the Lord does not approve of. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth, and you said one thing about him. He absolutely knows nothing about public relations or cares nothing about public relations. You know what public relations is? It's getting along with the public. And Jesus Christ did not come to get along with the public. He came to do the will of the Father. That's two different things, you know. By now, if you haven't noticed your kin people, they don't do the will of the Father. If you haven't noticed your work buddies, they don't do the will of the Father. So when Jesus said, I come to do my Father's will, that meant, the world's going to be going south, I'm going to be going north. It's going to be like getting on a one-way street. Jesus living in this world was like a man going down the one-way street the wrong way. Everything passed him going the opposite direction. And they really thought Jesus was wrong. They really thought that he was off the track. They really thought they were on the track. Didn't fool the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood. He understood that he would be in opposition to the world. He understood that it would not be a bed of roses. He understood and expected and taught his disciples and the apostles just what they could expect out of this sinful, wicked world. And sometimes, folks, today, I think we forget about that. I think sometimes when that old world rears up on its hind legs and shows its claws and bares its teeth like a big old bear, that it scares us. And the Lord said, dear, you can expect that kind of stuff. You're not one of them. You're at odds with them. They're following the devil and you're following me. And there's no way that you're going to find yourself going in the same direction. And so we get intimidated when we should expect it, and we should be. When we don't have problems with the world, we should be happy, because the rule should be, if we're living right, that some way, somehow, we're always at odds with the world. And if you're following the Lord, that's a good indication. If the world thinks you're the greatest guy around, bad sign. Bad sign. They didn't think our Lord was like that. Did you know that? They really didn't think he was like that. The crowds that followed him, they followed him for what they could get out of him. They followed him for the show, as they saw the people healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, that wasn't what impressed them. It was the show and what they could get out of him. Something to eat, a free lunch. You see, as well as seeing a miracle done. That's what it was all about, shallow stuff. Not deep stuff, shallow stuff. All right, so now I'd like to start off by just mentioning that. If you just take the time to read of the life and teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ, you'll see that he would be very much out of step with our culture and our society today. And we should be the same way. I get sick and tired of seeing every time the world does something, you can see it reflected in the congregation. If the world puts a ring in its nose in the congregation, there'll be some supposed to be Christian with a ring in her nose almost. If the men start wearing earrings, look out in the auditorium and you'll see some professing Christian wearing earrings. I mean, if the women wear their dresses up to their navel, look out there. Well, don't look out there. You'll get embarrassed. The women are wearing theirs. I mean, listen, dear people. We're supposed to be going in an opposite direction. They're headed down. We're headed up. Be not like our Lord. We need to be mindful of that. That's what I hope to challenge you with tonight. Second thing I'd like to point out to you is that the real Jesus Christ stands in marked contrast. That means definite contrast. You can tell the difference between to the Christ of the imagination that many cherish in our modern age. He stands in marked contrast. You can be around a person for so long, and you can know right off that they're not talking about the same Christ you are if you're going by the one in the Bible. They've got, and folks will tell you, folks will tell you if you stay long, watch them, you'll see, and you'll hear, and you'll know what kind of a Christ they're following. No, and I told him, I was talking, we studied literature the other day, and I was telling Kayla, I said, and when you look reading a book, I said, reading a book, people ought to read a book. I said, because reading a book is much, much better than watching television. I said, you notice this. When you read a book, you create your own scenes in your mind. Your mind is working. You're creating. You read, this fellow here rode this horse up to the bank of the creek. You'll draw a picture of this fellow. And you can make that man ugly, or you can make him big, or you can make him small. You just draw your little picture real fast. And I said, what's bad about television? They've already drawn that picture the way they want you to see it. So I said, it destroys your creativity. That's why people can't think today anymore. They don't, you just sit down there, and all you have to do is just have a good bottom jaw so it won't fall all the way down and land on your chest. But, and no ability to think whatsoever. I still read. It still exercises my mind. And you know, I'm going to tell you this tonight. I think I told Kayla that, excuse me. I said, you read a man's book, you know something about what he's thinking. I said, it's impossible for a fellow to write a book and not reveal some of his thinking, his beliefs, and his actions. So I said, when you read his book, I said, you ask yourself questions. What was that man trying to say to me? What did he say to me? Was that just a reason for him to say something else for me? Read behind the lines. What was he getting over? What did he believe about the Bible? Was he a friend of God? You know, the art, dear people, of reading has been lost. And with it, the art of thinking. That's a terrible thing. People say, well, people can't read too well. Well, they don't need to anymore, I guess. I mean, all you need is just two good eyes and a big old mouth. You just fall down there. And then if you sit down there long enough, you got a big old belly, big old eyes, and big old mouth. And a little old brain, okay? Little brain. They could do brain. Every time somebody dies today, they could take that brain and put it in another person, it'd only be slightly used. Why, this thing is 95% new. You can take it and use it. Oh, the person lived to be 100 years old, but the brain is just 90. It's like a 16-year-old's brain. They haven't used that. Now, those eyeballs, that's another thing, boy. That's like going to the junkyard and pulling stuff off them old cars. That eyeball's been worn out. All right? So, dear people, what I'm getting at is folks, when they've got their own idea about what Jesus is like. And when you're saved, you have an idea of what Christ is like. But when the Holy Spirit's working in your life, there's one thing, if he has his way, he's going to draw an accurate picture of Christ in your mind for you. And the older you get and the more you read the Word, the more in contrast the Christ of the Bible is to the rest of the world. And as I've told you this many times, so many people, Christ was a sissy. Let's just face it. Lily white hands, lily white face. No. You get it. You get it wrong. You think more along these lines, more along the lines of ruddy complexion, sunburned. You walk in the streets, walk the roads, and you big muscles in his legs from walking. And you'd see his face brown, and You'd see somebody who was a man amongst men, as we would say. And somebody who could walk up to something and reach down and pick it up and lift it up and hold it up. He was strong. He was raised to work with his hands. God saw fit that his son was not born in a castle or a palace, but that he was born to a common, everyday working man who was a carpenter, and that he worked in that shop because he put him in a place where it was a custom of the Jews to train their sons in a trade. So Jesus knew what it was to have calluses in his hands, to have a back that was tired, and he did that till he was 30 years old and went into the ministry. So people have the wrong idea about Christ. I mean, they picture him, you know, to have this little angelic hands like this, walking around like, this is how about like some people figure Jesus walks around like this. Now, that's not normal, folks. Or then sometime they like it like this. You know, Jesus is walking around like this. Oh, no, that's not Jesus. I mean, I took to Jesus, but guys just see Jesus come walking like this, man. Like, you know, I mean, they're a man. He said, help me with this, Jesus. Grab hold of one end of that thing and come up with it and have the muscle. He was a man, a real man. He wasn't a sissy. He was a real man. The devil likes to tell young boys, being a Christian will make a sissy out of you. I'll tell you one thing. You can't read the life of the Apostle Paul and say that little man was a sissy. He went through some things, you see. So when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find these things about Christ. This is very contrary to what people think of when they think of Jesus. He was at times the very angry Jesus. The very angry Jesus. You look at what he's doing here. I mean, he walked up there and grabbed those tables of little money changers and just said, flip! I don't think you went up there and said, do you? I think he was angry at that bunch. Bunch of thieves just reached down there, grabbed that table and turned them upside down. Make it his father's house. A place of thievery. He had some holy anger. Y'all ever? We have a lot of unholy anger in our lives. Jesus had a lot of holy anger in his. He is angry about the right things. We're usually angry about the wrong things. I get my hamburger order right. I left my mustard off. Where's my ketchup? I've got to go back and get everything. Boy, that's righteous, holy, righteous anger. I think Jesus did without that one, if y'all don't mind. I don't think if they had a Burger King, he'd have been there. You know, I don't think he'd been worried about what they had down there. He was more or less a common man. And let me tell you, dear people, he was very angry at sometimes. Very angry Jesus. Oh, my, there's some people say, oh, I can't see my Jesus like that. That's why we're preaching the message tonight. So that you'll begin to get a picture of what he is like. You'll find he was a very judgmental Jesus. I mean, he was very judgmental. That's what the world doesn't like today. They don't want you to tell them they're wrong. Don't be judgmental, but they'll be judgmental on you. They judge, they're judgmental. They'll say to you, don't be judgmental, and then they'll say, you are judgmental. I say, wait a minute. You just told me not to be judgmental, and now you're being judgmental against me. You see, when you judge me and tell me I'm judgmental, you've already been judgmental. Uh-oh. That's a little bit too deep for some folks. They got to start swimming. That's not but ankle deep stuff. And they're already trying to give you that overhand swim, you know. You took them too deep. They didn't understand that they were being judgmental when they judged you. They just thought you were judgmental when you told them the Bible said something was wrong. Oh, you ought not to be judgmental. Jesus was very judgmental. I mean, he told one of the leading men of his day, he said, you've got to be born again, man. That's being judgmental. He tell that man so many words, he lost. How rash he was. Well, that's the way Jesus was. He was refreshing in his day. Refreshing. You run fine when you look at Jesus that he was a very strongly condemning Jesus. I mean, he'd tell you what sin was and he'd condemn it and he'd tell you you're going to hell because of it. That's tough. Now, years ago when I started out preaching, folks didn't think, they didn't get offended at that now. But I tell you one thing, if you don't put the biggest reprobate in the congregation in heaven already and all he needs is just for the bus to pull up and him go, you're bad off. You're a terrible preacher. I've lived to see that. Lord have mercy on these young preachers. They won't know any better, but I've lived to know that there was a different way to do it. All they got to copy is some of these little lily-livered cowards that stand in the pulpit that won't preach the Word of God. I'm glad, folks, with the way you start off and the men that you're around and how they preach the Word of God and how they stand, they have an effect on you as a young man. If you start off one of these little sissified crowd pleasers, that's what you're probably going to end up being. That's terrible. That's awful. All right, so Jesus was a very strongly condemning Jesus, and Jesus was a very plain-spoken Jesus. I mean, he just laid it out there on the line. You could understand his language. I mean, if you come to church here, there's one thing I don't want you to go home thinking, what did he say? I'll try to put it on your level, you see. That's it. And sometimes people say, that's very crude. Well, I'm going to tell you something, dear people. Sometimes the everyday man has a crude way of putting things. I'm not talking about a sinful way. I mean, let me tell you, dear people, sometimes they'll use matters of expression that are not capable of drawing up the prettiest picture like, boy, that'd gag a maggot. That's not just a very, very refined picture there, you know. You see? I mean, and that just gets us started, you know. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke very plainly to folk. Didn't pull any paint punches with them. And he was very dogmatic. He'd say things like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't really mean that, do you, Lord? Do you realize what you just said? That everybody that doesn't trust you is going to hell? You don't really mean that, do you? Yes, sir. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's dogmatic. Couldn't you kind of knock the edges off that little bit, Lord, so that would go down easier? They're having a hard time swallowing that. It's kind of hanging up here in what the folks over on 10 Mile used to call the crawl. You don't have one. They say it kind of sticks in my crawl. Well, you see, the plain preaching the Word of God kind of sticks in people's craw today. They need a drink of castor oil or olive oil for it to go down better. And then they stretch their neck like a turkey gobbler, you know, getting ready to gobble when they were trying to swallow it and they just can't barely handle it. But they need to. The Lord Jesus Christ was very dogmatic. And I'll tell you, he made religious people, as well as others, so angry that they wanted to kill him. Now, they didn't just say, you know, sometimes today, playingly, we'll say, I could have killed him. And we're just laughing. It's a joke. But as you know, they weren't joking about Jesus, the holiest man that ever walked among them, the greatest preacher that ever spoke to them, the most perfect preaching that was ever done, just got Jesus on somebody's death wish list. They wanted to get rid of him. Just like Baptist churches get rid of good preachers today that preach the Bible to get them one of these little slick tongue fellows, you know, who doesn't even have to chew his food. All he's got to do is throw it on his tongue. His tongue's so slick, he just, pew, boom, and that's gone. Just like eating oysters. I mean, that's it. That's what folks like. You see? That's terrible. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's a bunch running around every day acting like, look at me, man. I'm God's man. They ran into Jesus Christ, tangled him a few times, and said, we've got to get rid of him. We're going to kill him. Just start looking for a chance to kill him. Yeah, but... but we got to get rid of him. We got to do God's work. Yeah, but he... that doesn't make any difference. I don't care how many people he raises from the dead. We got to get rid of him. He made the death list of the who's who of his day, the elitist. You see, you run around today and they say, well, that preacher can't get along with nobody. Kind of like Jesus, isn't he? Whoa! Jesus got along with everybody. Read your Bible again, honey child. You got one of the new ones, I guess. He knew what was in even that big old crowd that's following him. He knew. Where were they all when he was crucified? You ever ask yourself that? Why didn't they just storm the thing? They didn't have any intestines or guts. They weren't going to die for him. They didn't die with him, not one of them. How many of them ever fell down beside him and said, if you're going to kill him, kill me too. He's my Lord. Didn't happen, did it? No. No, my dear people. The Lord Jesus Christ would not be any more welcome or any more well thought of today than he was then. The reason people think he would be is because they're not thinking about the real Christ. Listen, dear people. Boldly, look at him. And without apology, just look at this one incident we just read here. Boldly and without apology, he called upon the everyday working man and the religious elite of his day to repent or perish in their sins. Turn or burn, doesn't make a difference who you are. You know who I am, doesn't make a difference, you're going to go to hell. I and my Father are one, by the way, so if I tell you this, you boys don't have to wait around. You already know how it's going to turn out in the end if you don't repent. Now that burns some people up. You know what it did? Yeah. I went down to another church. You know what he said? If you didn't believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's going to hell. That offended me because I believe baptism has something to do with it. And I'm not going back. Well, that's just tough, buddy. That's what the Bible says. Surprise! You wouldn't have went to one of Jesus' services very often. And you got the wrong religion if you wouldn't go to Jesus' service. And you run around talking about Jesus all the time, and you get offended because Jesus said he is the only way of salvation, and it knocks your religion in the head just colder than a wedge. Because you don't believe Jesus is enough. And he said he was enough. He said he could do the job all by himself. Strange. We wouldn't want him in our place. Well, we didn't care for him. See? You got the wrong religion in the wrong place. The Lord Jesus Christ, he even dared to insult the high and the mighty, who are the religious leaders of his day, publicly calling them fools, hypocrites, blind leaders of the blind, whited sepulchres, and so forth and so on. Didn't that man have any sense? Wasn't Jesus Christ smart enough to know that you can't make friends and influence people by telling them things like that? And the ones he was talking that way to were the ones that were supposed to be the model religious figures of his day. And there he was. He didn't say to a crowd in private, hey, they're a bunch of fools, blind leaders of the blind, they're a bunch of hypocrites. He said to the boys, looking eyeball to eyeball, that's preaching. You fools. You hypocrites, you blind leaders of the blind, you stink, you bunch of stinkers, you whited sepulchers, huh? You just old graves with rotten bones inside of them, smelling and stinking. You know, that's what you are, and you put yourself off as somebody that's holy. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. That's about the time, you know, that somebody wanted to run up probably to Jesus. His followers probably thought many times, we need to run up there and put our hand over his mouth, because he was just digging his grave and getting it deeper all the time. Because didn't he know who these people were? Yeah, he did, and he didn't care. He was compassionate. He could handle somebody who came to him about their sin problem. He'd handle them with all compassion. But a bunch of people who was self-righteous and proud and arrogant, he met them head on just like that, baby. And said, you boys, I mean, you've got to take a look at reality. Take a look at yourself. This is where the road ends with me. I'm going to tell you the truth. You got everybody else scared of you? You got everybody else intimidated? You're not intimidating me. And I want you to know God is not intimidated by anybody that was ever made from clay. I'm just about to say, and the spirit world too. And the Lord Jesus Christ was down here. And then, you think, you know, I know sometimes, probably you say, I bring some of my friends to church. You know what they're going to do? He'll get up there and preach one of them old messages, and he'll get them so offended, and they won't come back. So you'd have felt the same way about Jesus Christ. And I'm no ways equal to him. That's it. You know, get them there. Listen, the best thing you can do for people today is to get them to come to one of these old hellfire and brimstone services. At least they can say they went to one in their life. Right? And sometimes you can't ever tell. God might bless it and it might do them some good. Goodness knows where they're going now. It's got going, walking into a meat cooler, where, you know, ever been on a meat cooler? That's why people run around with those coats on all the time. Meat cooler's cold. Going to some churches, they're just like a meat cooler. I know about all the jumping and jerking and jiving and dancing they're going on. I'm not talking about that, buddy. That crowd, you get them preach one good hellfire and brimstone sermon, and they'll all boogie out and out the door. and just keep boogieing. Huh? Oh, we got a lovely preacher. The church is growing. And I listen, you tell me where you go to church, and I'll tell you about how spiritual you are. You ought not to judge. Oh, you don't understand. That Bible just talks about it all the time. How in the world are you going to know a tree?
By the fruit it bears. These are the words of Jesus, if you don't judge.
The Lord said, judge righteous judgment. You've got to judge some things, but he said, judge righteous. Judge according to the book. You're all right. Now, at your standards, they're all wrong. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I mean, he knew who he was talking to when he preached to these people. But I kind of wish, you know, couldn't he just kind of soften up a little bit? That's why Jesus came to save and make different kinds of people out of me and you. It's because we're about appeasing the wicked world. I'm not talking about not being decent and civilized to them, but we're talking about when it comes to the subject of sin. See? The truth is today, we're not aggressive enough. They run us. That's run us under the house. I was raised up on a farm. Daddy had four or five old dogs. If the dogs got scared, they took their tail between their legs and ran up under the house, and from under the house said, boo, boo. Puts me in the mind of some Christians today, huh? We all run up under the house, look out from the lake, going, boo, boo, boo. And a bunch of hell-raising people out there, a bunch of hell-bound people out there, run us under the shed, run us in the bushes, and dare us to come back. They didn't do that to Jesus Christ. He met them out there and took his stand for what was right. And held on to it. And they got mad, and they said, we want to kill him. And he knew what they were thinking. He stood right there and just held on to it. Whew. I don't think I'd have wanted to go to where Jesus was preaching. How about you? So he said, where are you going to church? I'm going over there where Jesus is preaching. You are. I wouldn't go over there at all. Said, what? They don't have enough love over there. Uh-huh. Don't have enough love. Translated, they don't soft soap you enough over there. See? They don't soft soap you over there. That's a sad situation. That's the way Jesus was. I don't look around at modern preachers today to see whether or not I'm going in the right direction, how I'm supposed to act, because that is the most unreliable models to follow I know of. You just can't find too many preachers today that you can let influence you in any way too much, because they're not trying to be like Jesus. They're trying to be like the world wants them to be, and there's going to be a problem right there. Trying to be like the world wants them to be. You know, I mean, the world tell you how it wants you to act, what it wants you to say, how it wants you to say it, how loud it wants you to say it, and all that stuff, you know. And they say, he's too loud. I just read over in Isaiah where he said, cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. I'm just fool enough to believe he meant that, Gabby. So I lift up my voice like a trumpet. I've had a few people in my 55 years say, he's too loud. What I was saying got through. You understood that. Then I couldn't hardly hear him. They said, I heard him too clearly. He wouldn't say that. You know who I am? Yeah, he didn't really care. People used to tell me, do you know that people sit in front of the radio and cuss you out? And I felt like saying, you know, I didn't even hear him. But God did. You know, I just kept on preaching. I had a fellow one time I went by. We ran a bus minister down to Faith and went by to pick up his kids. I didn't see the man nowhere. The kids stand in the yard. I said, kids, y'all like to go church Sunday, talk to your parents, and be ready. We'll pick you up. Well, there was a devil called me, and he was cussing and raring and carrying on. I think he's kin to some of you here. I'm not going to call his name. This will go out over the radio. I think he's dead and in hell today. Boy, he was just running his mouth. He wasn't taking his kids to church nowhere. But that son of Satan got mad. Of course, I never went nowhere to invite nobody's children to church again. Baloney. Man, I didn't have the problem. He did. I stood right there in front of his face and let him tell me what he wanted to tell me. And then looked him right in the face and said, now you through? He said, yeah. I said, you're going straight to hell. How you like that, buddy? Ain't nothing you told me as bad as what I just told you. And when you get there, remember me. He still remembers me today. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. I told my wife today, I said, one of the bad things about hell is your memories, too. Not just the punishments or memories of everything that you messed up on back then back in the world. All right? Now, listen. No doubt the Lord Jesus Christ was considered a very shocking and disrespectful kind of a preacher and a teacher in the judgment of many. But, can you believe it? He never changed one thing. He never changed one thing. If you're right, you don't have to change. That's the only problem with human beings. We have to go back and look twice to see if we're right. Jesus, he didn't have to look twice to see if he's right. You see? But he never changed. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. I mean, I don't need to apologize. You folks want to get right. That's what he was saying. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. You fellas walking around standing on your head looking at me, and I'm walking around on my feet, and you're standing on your head looking at me saying, you're upside down. No, he said, I'm walking right. And you're the one that's upside down. So if anybody's going to straighten up, you're going to straighten up. We're not going to straighten up. That's what the New Testament church needs to say today, folks, to the world. Look, you're lost, and you're on the road to hell. Now, we've got some gifts to give away down at the church, and one of them is eternal life. We don't give it, God does. But we offer it through the gospel. If you're interested in being saved, we got a gift down there from God to give you. But if you want a circus, go to the Shrine Circus or some of the Barnum Bailey or something else, because we're not in that business. The church today does not follow its Lord and take its stand for what's right if the hair slips off. It runs around apologetically bowing and scraping to the lost world, and that's a shame and a disgrace. We're to glorify Jesus. Not the biggest hypocrite in town. Not the hypocrite in town that no preacher dares to preach the word to. That's the one that needs to hear it. That's it. I love that story of a preacher that time. I've told it to you so many times, I'll tell it again because I like it. A president of the United States came in. Somebody told a preacher was getting up there, and he was getting after him. The fellow said, President so-and-so, I forget which one it was. Said, he just came in and sat down. So whirling around and being the real preacher he was, and he said, and President so-and-so will go to hell if he doesn't get right with God. That's what I like. He outranked the president, you see. He was a servant of God. He outranked the president. And so he didn't mind saying it. He wasn't saying it. He did that president a favor. I mean, a favor. Telling him the truth. When you tell people the word, to preach the word of God to people, you know, they're lost a lot of times and they don't get mad at you, but you're doing them a favor. You're helping them. That's real love. That's real love. People don't know what real love is today. They think real love is going along with people and petting them while they go to hell. No. Oh. What sinner on the road to hell needs you to tickle their tummy? I need you to be truthful to them. I need you to know you love them enough to tell them the truth. Listen, dear people. Just imagine how embarrassed many preachers and Christians would be today if Jesus would make a whip and chase a money changer out of the temple if it existed in our time. Just imagine him doing what we just read there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I'll tell you what would happen. Man, they'd sneak away like them old dogs with their tail tucked between their legs and quietly as they could be under the house. I was so embarrassed I down at that temple with Jesus. Y'all know what he did? Just like a bad man. Man, he got a little whip. Made a little whip. People, I'm telling you, made a little whip. And I said, what's he going to do with that? And I watched him while he made that whip. And I said, he's just going to go in that yard. I said, he's going to just slap himself on the back, the legs. No, he went in there. You thought he's driving cab. He just lift. And you know what he did? Come to the money changer's table, and all the men sitting there counting money, he just reached down and grabbed and turned it over. And I mean, you could tell he wasn't happy at all. And he had just pandemonium. I've never been so insulted in my life. Oh, I'm sure they had something like that. They got some of them in every Baptist church today. You know something like that. That's right. You think that made Jesus any difference? No, he didn't. Just think how you'd be. I know. I mean, I'm not going to call your name tonight, but I can already see you. And Jesus said, where are you going there? I'm sick. I'm going to the bathroom. That's it. That's right. Says that, next time I see him making a whip, I'm cutting the trail. I ain't sticking around because he made that whip. He's going to use that whip. You see him doing something funny, you better get out of there so you can get over where you can hide. There's no telling what that man is. He acts like somebody mad. We've been going that chip a long time. We didn't see nothing wrong with it. He walked in there, man, and looked things over, and you could act, you thought he owned the place. He did. He did. He did. He had authority. Boy, I think about that today, I tell you. I imagine, you know, if that was happening in our day, the notes of apology would fly the next day to the offended parties, don't you? Huh? Oh, we are so embarrassed. We are so sorry that our beloved leader, a preacher, spoke like that, acted like that. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Please overlook that. He does not usually act like that. I enclosed a little gift just to show you that I was really sorry for what he did. I enclosed a little gift for you. Maybe that'll help patch things up behind us. Because, you know, even though I'm following him, I'm really, you know, we're really close. I can just see it today, folks. And some of them will have the name Gordon attached to them. Bring him a here. I brought you a mess of tasers over because that Jesus acted like he did. Maybe when you eat these tasers, you'll feel better. Because I'm really embarrassed, and I can't tell you how sad I am that you happened to be there at that time. You know I'm telling the truth. You sit here, you know I'm telling the truth. You're thinking right now about some of your people that do that. Yeah, it just runs through your mind like this. That's right. That way it be. Come to think of it, I'm not too sure. I might not do that too. And if you're faced with your... Oh, no, I wouldn't. Listen, man, I'd just stand there. Yeah, you sure do, don't you? Yeah. I had a few folks in town have some choice things to say about me sometimes. I know they do, and I'm not Jesus. You know. Oh, gracious alive. The stories that get out about me sometimes... I mean, everything from a cult to I'll tell you how to dress. I just tell you what the Bible says to the best of my ability. I'm just here to speak for the Lord. You can listen or you can lump it. You're going to be the one face the end of it. I'm not going to face the end for you. You know, I just wonder sometimes I'd like to be a little bird. You know, I mean, you're talking about changing the subject real fast. You go over there to Victory? Yeah, I go over there to Victory. But, you know... I've been going to work for years. I know the preacher, you know, he gets kind of loud and he gets out of hand sometimes, but he does some good teaching too. Why don't you just reach over and go like that, you see? That's it. You're apologizing for him. You're standing there and say, yeah, he's human, but he does his best to preach and teach the word of God. You ought to come over sometime. No, you say, you know, you should bring them over. They'll leave. God now, aren't you? I'm doing a better job than I think I am now. You've got elevated to God's position. You can see the future. Huh? Oh, gee whiz. Wonder how I ever got into the fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptists. Wonder how I ever got there. I wasn't born with them. Sure wasn't, folks. Oh, listen, dear people. Let me hurry along. Time's passing fast here. All that good, stinky stuff is running on television right now. And can't you just hear the talk around the table about how unbecoming the conduct of Jesus was for one of his stature? He can raise men from the grave, but he can't handle a crowd at all. He can raise them dead people. He can't handle a crowd. He can open those blind eyes. But don't you think he could just be a little bit wiser? I can't raise the dead, but I'm wiser than he is about how to handle a crowd. That's the way we sit on Jesus, you know. Oh, listen, dear people. They'd think, how did he ever expect to get along with folks, and how did he ever expect folks to listen to him? Time you get through running around pleasing folks to get them to listen to you, they're dead in hell, or you've run out of time yourself. Did you know that? because you got to figure out which ones you're going to please.
Because in case you don't know it, y'all all are not alike. I'll give you newsflash. Now, which one of you am I going to please? Because if I please one of you, I'm going to displease the other one. You see what I'm facing? So I'm just going to please God. It's a whole lot easier. It just focus on one. And that's all he says. That's right. Gee whiz, and then you throw your kin people in. I ain't about to battle that. I'm not crazy yet. Little old, but not senile. I wouldn't even start there. Some of you already told me about your kin people. There ain't no way in the world I'd try to please them. They're odd. They're kind of strange. You know why? Because you tell me about them. No, I'm not. I don't care if you bring them. I'm just going to try to please the Lord. Thank you for the warning. And I'll just tell you right up, mine, I got some odd ones in my family. And they show it when it comes to the Bible. I mean, they really do. Okay. All right. Now, Jesus, without apology or hesitation, would vigorously, I mean, he'd put his heart and soul into swimming upstream against the moral and spiritual climate of his day. And he'd do that today. And he'd be hated and despised for it. Oh, here comes Jesus. Everybody close the doors, let down the blinds, and play like we're gone. And if you're having a supper, don't you dare invite him. Because all them old reprobates and whoremongers are not going to feel at ease around him, so just don't let him come. Am I ringing any doorbells? Huh? Well, the preacher throw a dampness over the whole spirit. Dampen the whole thing. A little godliness would affect your family get together that much, huh?